It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Department of Veterans Affairs recently announced that it will not fill tens of thousands of open job positions.
The department said on social media it'll close at least 25,000 vacant jobs, saying most of them were added during the COVID-19 pandemic and are unnecessary. That's on top of around 30,000 VA staff cuts last year from early retirement, deferred resignations, and a hiring freeze.
An open letter from hundreds of VA workers back in October warned that cuts would, quote, negatively affect the lives of all veterans.
Two staffers who recently left Wisconsin VA hospitals join us now. Michelle Malone is president of Local 3 AFGE, a union for federal employees in the Milwaukee area. She retired from the Zablocki VA Medical Center in September. And Dr. Michael Siebers is a retired Veterans Health Administration physician in Madison. Dr. Siebers practiced at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital for 27 years. Dr. Siebers, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Michelle, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Michelle, let's start with you. You were working pretty recently at the Zablocki VA Medical Center in Milwaukee. We had a lot of cuts last year with the VA and more now unfilled positions, apparently. Were you seeing these kind of shortages showing up at Zablocki?
Yes, there's been a lot of shortages. It's been really crazy. I'm still active in the VA because I'm president of AFGE, the Local 3, the union. And so it's like to where everybody's been working short. Nobody's, could get off. They're taking away their time off, their annual leave, and, not allowing sick leave because they're so short. They've been cutting beds, in our domiciliary. I think they cut it like 30 beds and then turned around to cut a whole wing. And so, it's hurting the veterans. It's the care, the veterans' care is really being hurt by this cut.
And Michelle, is it a case where, hey, that nurse who might have covered, a certain number of patients, depending on if they're critical care or whatever, those numbers are going up? It's one nurse for more patients now?
Correct. Yes. It's where they might have had maybe four patients, but now they're like at eight. It's at least it doubled, if not tripled.
And what are you hearing, Michelle, about morale with the people you work with?
Well, the morale is so low, and it's to where that, they need this job to help their families, to live. But then they're terrified. They're terrified that they're going to lose their job. They're terrified the supervisor is constantly saying, hey, you need to do more with less. Do more with less. I mean, they love working for the veterans, but they don't, they don't have the amount of people that they need to do the job, and it's not like they don't want to do it. They love working for the veterans.
Dr. Siebers, you were a doctor in the VA system for a long time. I imagine, the agency was never so flush with employees that there were, it never felt tight. But do you see things being different now over the last year?
It's terribly different and for the worse.
What kind of things are you hearing? How are you concerned about what this might mean for a veteran seeking medical care?
Well, it's bad for the staff. A quarter of the staff are veterans themselves, and the morale is very low, and the organization is making it such that people feel like they have to find a different job. They can't stay there anymore. So people are dropping out and not being replaced. So when the Veterans Administration talks about we're not firing anybody, we're not reducing staff, we're only getting rid of vacant positions, they're vacant positions that they have forced into the system. And from the patient's point of view, services are not as readily available as they have been in the past. One of the most egregious problems is for veterans who have mental health issues. The organization, the Veterans Administration, is now starting to try to put a limit on the number of visits that veterans with mental health issues can attend. And of course, we lose a veteran to suicide one an hour. So this is a very critical area for veterans.
And Dr. Siebers, as I understand it, I think for physicians in particular, working for the VA may not be the most lucrative option compared to elsewhere in the healthcare sector. Is that true? Does it make it in general more complicated for the VA to keep attracting physicians on staff?
In general, physicians who work in the VA make less money than physicians in private practice. Most employees at the VA, as has already been stated, love their work. They love working for veterans. They love helping veterans. So that makes up for a lot of shortcomings in other areas. And there are many reports of, say, for example, psychologists who have been forced out of the system who find employment elsewhere and make considerably more money. And this is, you know, not just for physicians, but for other providers in the Veterans Administration system.
And Michelle, on that same note, the colleagues you work with, you mentioned some people thinking, hey, I need to look into another line of work. Are you seeing people leave the VA and go into the healthcare system and other agencies or in private practice?
Yes, a lot of them has, because sometimes it's so unbearable for them to do that job that they're asking them to do with so short staffed. And they're really looking for, you know, they're asking for the help, but they're not getting the help, but they're still having a deadline to meet certain criteria, but it's just not happening. And they just put their hands up and say, I had enough. And I mean, professional and unprofessional employees have doing that.
Michelle, we've seen from the Veterans Administration moves toward saying, hey, we're going to give veterans flexibility where they can seek help at a VA, a hospital or clinic, or have a voucher kind of thing to go to see a private practitioner. Is that kind of private practice something that's going to make up for some of these shortfalls we see at the VA, or are you worried about that as a trend?
I'm very worried about that, because if you ever visit a VA hospital, you would see how the veterans like to interact with other veterans. I mean, this is their hospital. So then to have to go to any private hospital to where they don't have the respect of being a veteran. This is theirs, and I think to take away the VA hospital is to take away a lot from the veterans. They earned this thing. They put their life on the line, and we should not be taking away their hospital. I mean, I just don't believe, I can't believe that they would even consider something like that.
Dr. Siebers, do you see the VA as being uniquely situated to be able to provide care and as Michelle mentioned, the respect for veterans as compared to the rest of the healthcare system?
That's absolutely the case. You know, the current administration is talking about the private sector as being a good place for resources to go for veterans' health care, but they're looking at giving out big contracts to different companies for the care of veterans without regard to really the issues that veterans have. You know, there's the PTSD, the substance abuse, the lung cancer and so forth from smoking. So, yeah, that's a significant difference from the system that's available now in the veteran system, where a patient can get an appointment at least previously. Now, this has been eroded significantly in the past year, but an appointment for a veteran would be a half hour. And in a private practice setting, the appointment is 10 minutes. In the VA system, it may take a month or two to get the appointment. In the private setting, we all know it takes 3 months or more to get an appointment. So saying that the private sector is going to be able to handle the veterans, well, really all the administration is doing is passing off money to cronies they work with. I'm sorry to sound so cynical.
Dr. Siebers, the VA has been heavily studied over the years. What do we know about the quality of care that veterans receive in VA facilities?
The one statistic that comes immediately to mind is a survey that was done in 2023, and 91% of veterans were highly satisfied with the care they got in the Veterans Administration system. As you know, it's the largest integrated healthcare system in the country. And the current administration is trying to destroy it.
We are talking about recently announced cuts to staffing at the Veterans Administration, especially in the health field. We've got Dr. Michael Siebers, retired doctor who spent more than a quarter century working at the VA hospital in South Central Wisconsin. Michelle Malone, also with us, president of Local 3 AFGE and former staffer at Zablocki Medical Center in Milwaukee. Michelle, another move from the Trump administration. President Trump signed an executive order removing collective bargaining rights from unions at federal agencies like the VA. The head of your group called that a retaliation, a suing over the executive order. Has this impacted your chapter's ability to represent workers at that facility?
Yes, it has. It has really, it's kind of damaging because we can't represent people in our, you know, they said they won't let us talk up for just this past Friday. I got a call from one of our members stating that they were in a building that had no heat and no running water, that then they told them they could not go home and work from home, that they had to stay there. And it was like 60 degrees in the building and with no running water to use the bathroom or anything. So, and I'm calling, trying to get HR, say, hey, what you guys doing about this? What you doing? And they refused to talk to me about that because they said that bargaining, that they weren't my bargaining members anymore. But they are people. They are people that needs to be treated with respect and shown, you know, shown this is how these are working conditions. And I feel that if we don't say something now, do something now, it's going to just spread wide open, and it's going to hurt everybody. This is not just going to stay in that one area. It's just going to get bigger and bigger, and it's going to start coming outside of the VA. It's not going to it's not going to start here. You give them an inch, and they're going to take the mile.
Michelle, are nurses, for example, concerned that, hey, if I try to raise concerns about conditions affecting patient safety, I might face retaliation?
Yes, you know, because I've talked to some nurses before, and, you know, they said that, you know, they were saying things about how the patients, they felt that the patients weren't getting the care that they wanted. But then they said if they were to say a whistleblow, then, you know, then they become a target.
Dr. Siebers, I'm talking to two retired employees at the VA. Are you concerned that people who are still there, still trying to keep a job, are being silenced, in effect, not able to raise concerns publicly?
Oh, there's no question about the silencing. The upper administration in each hospital has been forced to sign non-disclosure forms. And people down the pecking order can see what's happening in other areas. If you Google cuts at the VA, you'll see cuts at, you know, many other agencies. And it's the same administration that's doing all these different kind of cuts and intimidation of workers.
Dr. Siebers, I'm talking to people who've been with, you know, in the Madison area, in the Milwaukee area. There's also the big Toma facility. I've heard some concerns that, you know, even before the latest cuts, we had, you know, in northern Wisconsin, people had to go a long way to get various kinds of specialty treatment. In your career there, did you see yourself serving a lot of people coming from maybe up in northern Wisconsin? And are you worried that cuts might make things harder for them?
At the Middleton VA Hospital, we always would have transfers from Toma Hospital and other facilities that are in our catchment area in the VA. You know, this is true even in the private sector. If you have a certain type of problem, you're in a small community hospital, if that community hospital still exists, and you have a complicated case, they're going to send you to a different medical center. So that is an issue, and it's something that's can be difficult. I didn't allude to this earlier when I mentioned the difference between the private community and the Veterans Administration hospitals, but the Veterans Administration hospitals has a whole separate system of electronic medical record that's incompatible with other medical records. So if a veteran goes to a private facility, his record doesn't go with him. And that can be extremely detrimental.
Michelle, if, say, a member of Congress came to you or somebody high up in the VA and said, okay, we're probably not going to be able to reverse all these cuts, but what are your top priorities? What are some small changes that you think could make a big difference? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to give the people back their rights to have the union to represent them. I would tell them to that our veterans need more care. They work for us, and it's time for us to go ahead and get staff the VA the way it should be to care for our veterans.
Dr. Siebers, I've seen some concern expressed by people raising concerns about the VA that, you know, people hearing a conversation like this, veterans hearing a conversation like this might think, oh my God, I shouldn't go to the VA to seek my health care. What is your message to them? Should they still be seeking care from the VA, even with the concerns that the two of you are raising?
Well, I would say they should seek care there. Now, I'm talking about two different situations. One, someone who's already a veteran with established care, and second, a veteran who doesn't have established care but is interested in entering the Veterans Administration healthcare system. For the latter group, the sooner you get into the system, the more likely you are to have a favorable benefit profile, because some of the things that are being talked about have to do with the nitty-gritty of how the VA system works. So, for example, a copay for someone who's less than 30% service-connected or no services available at all. So that kind of thing can make a big difference. So veterans should register and use the VA system to the extent they are able and to the extent that it is beneficial for them.
Dr. Siebers, at some point in your career, you trained at the VA hospital. You entered a career there. For somebody going into the medical field now, just out of medical school, saying, gosh, you know, I'd love to work with veterans in this community, what advice would you give them if they're seeking a career in the VA in the current situation?
Really, it's difficult to tell people to work at the VA right now because the Trump administration has said they want to close the VA hospitals. And when they talk about having better care for veterans, all they're talking about is putting more money in the basket to use for care that veterans get in the community. On the other hand, it's a privilege and an honor to take care of veterans. And anyone who wants to do so, I would say, go for it, recognizing what the shortcomings are.
We'll leave it there. Dr. Siebers, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And Michelle, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Michael Siebers is a retired Veterans Health Administration physician in Madison. Dr. Siebers practiced at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital for 27 years. And Michelle Malone is president of Local 3 AFGE, a union for federal employees in the Milwaukee area. She retired from the Zablocki Medical Center in September.